The short story, Larry and Taboo. Halloween arrived, and I received a phone call from Larry Murphy. Are you ready for a good time? Quite frankly, I didn't have any idea what he was talking about. Don't tell me you've forgotten your promise. Of course not, I responded. What promise? I knew you had no intentions of keeping your word, Larry muttered in a disappointed voice. You promised to go out with me sometime so I could show you a good time, and there's no better time than Halloween in the corridor. I'm going over to Harry's. Harry's, I interrupted. Yeah, Harry's. It's a great punk rock bar on Cass and Willis, Larry responded. I remembered there being a bar there, sort of a jazz spot run by a Wayne State professor, but it had closed after someone had killed him. He became very paranoid that someone was after him, so he had barricaded himself in his apartment behind the club. One night, that someone came calling and convinced him to kneel down and talk through his mail slot in the door. When he did, they shot him through the slot with a double-barrel shotgun, both barrels. I didn't know they'd reopen the place, I answered. Different people. The other guy got himself killed, Larry offered. Interesting choice of words, I thought. The other guy got himself killed, implying that he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. Got himself killed. There were some rumors about drugs being sold in the club, but nothing for sure. At any rate, he was gone, and now someone had taken his place. So are you coming out with me, or are you really the short ball hitter I think you are? I thought for a second, then said, what time? You mean you're coming? He was definitely pleased. Absolutely, what time? I'll come by and pick you up around 7:30, okay? Great, I'll see you then. He laughed and then signed off with, get ready to party. After I hung up, I asked Maggie if she wanted to come along. She declined, complaining that this place is a step up from an after-hours club, and she was sure everyone would be smoking. My clothes always stink after I've been in those places. Larry doesn't want me to come along anyway. I just cramp your style. I then reminded her that style was something that never concerned Larry. You know what I mean. Larry wants you to experience another part of the corridor. When it came time to leave, Maggie reminded me that tomorrow was a work day, so not to be too late. Larry arrived, and we walked over to Harry's, which was only a block or so from our row house. As we opened the front door, the smoke poured out, as well as the sounds of Iggy Pop. Maggie was right. My clothes were going to stink. Larry was wearing his usual uniform, Oshkosh bib overhauls, no shirt, Popeye arms, and Red Wing work shoes. The bar was filled with locals, half of whom were in Halloween costumes, including a neighborhood celebrity named Taboo. Taboo loved Halloween because it was the one day when a dress was perfectly acceptable attire for him. Taboo was a 6'5" African-American male whose real name was Clarence Williams. And on this evening, Taboo was wearing an outfit reminiscent of Carmen Miranda or Marie Espinskaya. He couldn't wait to come over and show off his new costume. As he floated across the dance floor, Larry shouted over the noise of the crowd, "Here comes Taboo, and he'll want to get me on the dance floor." "You're kidding," I responded. Larry didn't have a chance to respond before Taboo greeted us. "Who's your friend, sailor?" "He's my neighbor, Douglas," Larry answered. We exchanged niceties. Taboo was every bit a lady, but his baritone voice gave away his real sex. "My dance card is filling up, Mr. Murphy, so don't wait too long to get me on the floor." Larry just laughed and promised he wouldn't forget. After Taboo went on his way to accept the adulation of his fans, Larry turned to me and said, "Last year, Taboo wouldn't let me off the dance floor, I didn't get home till 4 a.m. He may seem a little weird, but he's one hell of a dancer. Larry was a man totally confident about his own sexuality, and then again, this was the corridor, and nothing was taboo, so to speak. The room was filled with a strange mix of much younger punk rockers and long-term neighborhood residents who didn't need a reason to party, but holidays like Halloween were a given to celebrate to the wee hours. I stayed for a couple of hours, but Larry was having a much better time than I was, and then he truly enjoyed bars and neighborhood nights like this. I tried to hide my real feelings, but Larry was much too perceptive to be fooled. "Is this place a little too weird for you, Douglas?" "Not at all," I responded. The truth was, I was uncomfortable there, but not just because of the room and the people. I hate it when I'm told I'm supposed to have a good time. It's probably why I dislike all holidays, including Christmas and New Year's. "Pretty weird, huh?" I turned to see Morris Crispin's smiling face, framed by that now famous white hair and flowing beard. I just nodded and explained that I was with Larry. Morris nodded and proclaimed, "I like to look at the costumes. Some of them are really good. By the way, you see that tall black woman with a turban? She's taboo, and she's not a she." "I know. I met him." "He's a great dancer, though," Morris declared. "That's what I hear." "Actually, Taboo's a better-looking woman than he is a man," Morris offered. "But he only gets to dress up once a year." "What does he do for a living?" I asked. Morris stroked his beard, frowned, and then said, "I don't know. I only know him as Taboo. Corridor's full of characters like him. One day they're here, and then they're not. They're gone, and you never see them again, and you don't know why. Strange, huh? I guess that's the difference between small towns and cities. People come and go, and no one seems to care." I looked around for Larry, and there he was, on the dance floor, dancing to Bob Seger's old-time rock and roll with none other than Taboo. "Larry's going to be here all night," Morris shouted over the music. I nodded and then announced to Morris I was going to call it a night. He agreed, and we left together. After exiting by way of the front door, we walked by the attached storefront next door. "You know, the guy who used to run that place lived there," Morris said, pointing to the front door. My eyes immediately focused on the mail slot at the bottom of the door. "He got himself killed," Morris announced as we walked by the door. I nodded and simply said, "That's what I hear."